Welcome back, everybody. This is Miguel Gonzalez, and you've tuned in to Truth to Live By, the radio and television broadcast ministry of Reasons for Faith International Ministries. Thank you once again for joining us for these next 30 minutes. Today, we are going to be talking about prayer. And the title of the message is Relationship, the Key to Prayer. And we're going to be spending some time looking at the in the Gospel of Luke, looking at Luke chapter 18. Before we start our message, our program here, we're going to start with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this time. We know that for many of us, prayer is a challenging discipline, Lord, and it's one that we often need a great deal of help. May you take this message, may you take the passages of Scripture that we're going to look at today and apply them to our hearts so that we may be able to grow in this area of our spiritual life, the area of prayer. We thank you for your word, for the Lord Jesus, for the Holy Spirit. May you speak to us loudly and clearly. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, as I have often said in the past, whenever we have discussed prayer in any way, shape, or form, I've often mentioned the fact that in many conversations with many Christians, whether they were young in the faith or mature in the faith, even many authors who have made great contributions to the faith through their writings have often acknowledged the fact that prayer is challenging to them. It takes effort. It takes discipline. It takes a conscious decision to take time out of a day which we regard as extremely busy in order to sit down or kneel down or even stand and converse with God about our lives and about our days and about our families and about our friends and a ministry and about all things that we deal with in life. But it is a challenging a part of the Christian experience, but it is an imperative one. It is important that we become people of prayer. And I'll tell you what, personally, honestly, in my personal walk with the Lord, it's an area where I struggle in terms of not being able to spend as much time in prayer as I would like to, or not that I can't, or not that there's enough time. But it's a matter of me being disciplined enough to stop doing whatever I am doing in order to be able to spend more time with God. And it's an area in which I often ask God to help me in because it's important. I know that. But it's not where I would like to see it. And I know that's true in the life of many Christians, whether they be young in the faith or mature in the faith. But we're going to talk about prayer, and we're going to talk about the simple fact that one of the most important things, or the most important things in terms of prayer, is relationship. Relationship is key to prayer. And we're going to spend some time looking at the Gospel of Luke, and we're going to look at chapter 18, and we're going to read verses 9 through 14. Now, Luke is not the only passage we're going to look at, but it is the passage we're going to use as the text for the message. Luke 18, verses 9 through 14. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. All right. That's a great text, and it's a great story that is filled with a great deal of application for our lives. We often misunderstand prayer. We think prayer is us doing God the favor of showing up just so we can tell God how great we are. And that's essentially what this Pharisee did. In spite of the fact that he was a sinner in need of salvation, incapable of saving himself, he thought highly of himself and thought he was doing God a great favor by showing up at the temple and telling God how great he was. While on the other hand, you had a tax collector who understood who he was and who understood who God was and was incapable of even looking up as he asked God for mercy and compassion. Listen, this text tells us clearly the kind of people God listens to, and that's the first point I want to make. What kind of people does God listen to? Well, according to this passage, God listens to those who are honest with themselves and honest with God and are willing to ask God for that which he needs, and in this case, forgiveness and mercy and grace and compassion. The Word of God tells us in this passage that it was not the Pharisee who went home justified in the eyes of God. It was the sinner who acknowledged his sinfulness and who acknowledged God and who acknowledged the fact that he needed to be forgiven of his sins. He's the kind of people God listens to. Listen, there are people out there who are not even in a relationship with God and pray. And I say that in quotes. Does God hear their prayers? Well, I'm not going to get into this trap of saying he does dogmatically or he doesn't dogmatically. The truth of the matter is that God listens to those who come to him with sincerity of heart, not to those self-exalting, self-elevating, self-pumped up people who think they are as great as God. God listens to those people who are sincere and genuine in their approach to God. There's another passage I want to look at that relates to the kind of people God listens to. Jeremiah. Let me find the text. Jeremiah. And I want to go to Jeremiah chapter 26. And I want to go to verse 3. Jeremiah 26, 3. I am missing it over here, I find, too. Okay, 3. Perhaps they will listen and each will turn from his evil way. Now listen, you gotta follow the train of thought here. Perhaps they will listen and each will turn from his evil way. Then I will relent and not bring on them the disaster I was planning because of the evil they had done. Did you catch what Jeremiah is saying here? Listen. God listens to those who recognize that they need to come to God because of their evil and need to turn from what they're doing to that which God desires in their life. God listens to those who are genuine and sincere in their heart in desiring to come to God for real mercy, real grace, real compassion, real forgiveness. Another passage we can look at, Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 23. Do I take any pleasure in the death of the wicked? Declares the Sovereign Lord. Rather, I am not pleased when they turn. Rather, am I not pleased when they turn from their ways and live? Listen, this passage, as well as the passage that we just looked at in Jeremiah, talk about the fact that God delights in those who come to Him, who recognize their ways to be in consistent with the will and desire of God, and turn from those ways and come seeking God's face honestly. Those are the kind of people, like the tax collector in the temple, those are the kind of people God listens to. God hears everybody, but God may not necessarily be listening to everybody. Secondly, I want to talk about the kind of prayers God answers. And this, we will link all of this to relationship. I first want to talk about the kind of people God listens to and the kind of prayer God answers. For example, I want to go to Proverbs 1. And if you don't have a Bible, then write down the reference. Proverbs 1, and I'm going to read verses 23 through 28. If you had responded, and listen to the text clearly. If you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. But since you rejected me when I called, and no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand, since you ignored all my advice and would not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh at your disaster. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you, then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me. Now, what is the author of Proverbs talking about here? It almost seems as if God is taking great joy at the calamity of people. Listen, don't inject into the text what the text is not saying. Listen, this is simply what God is saying. In my grace and in my mercy and in my compassion, I stretched out my hand and advised you that what you were doing was wrong and you needed to stop because I love you. I'm telling you this. But rather than heeding my rebuke and my advice, you mocked and rejected me. And now you're dealing with the consequence of your choices. And what I am going to do in order to teach you a lesson is I'm going to step back and allow you to suffer the consequences of your choices. It's not that God rejoices in seeing people suffer. It's that sometimes the best discipline is to allow people to reap the consequences of their own choices in life. And that's true for Christians. God often comes to us and says, stop. But you know what? We don't, because either we think we know better or it's just something we don't want to give up. But then once we are dealing with the consequences of our choices, often then we come to God and say, God, fix this. When all along God had been saying, watch it, you're going to get into a mess. Then God does not answer prayer, because part of the lesson He wants to teach you is that when you fail to listen to Him at the front end, He will fail to listen to you at the back end as part of His discipline. It's not that God doesn't want to help or is not listening. It's that that is how He helps and listens. Let's stay in Proverbs 15:29. And we're going to start moving quickly here. Proverbs 15:29. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. Don't need to spend a whole lot of time explaining that one. Listen, if you're not a Christian, if you're not in a personal relationship to God, God is under no obligation of answering your prayer. Now, the fact that he sometimes does is grace. But he's no obligation to answer the prayer of the wicked. He will answer the prayer of the righteous, though. Listen, prayer is a family privilege. John chapter 14. John chapter 14, and I've got a number of texts, but we're not going to look at them all because we're going to be running out of time. John chapter 14 and verse 6. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You know what you're doing when you pray? You come to the Father. And guess what? The only reason you can come to the Father is because you're family. You're family. It's a family privilege. You are in Christ. Christ is in you. And by virtue of that relationship, you come to the Father. It's a privilege to pray. It's a privilege to be able to approach the throne of grace and come face to face with your Creator to expose your heart. Now, I want to let you know this. Prayer does not flow out of religious duty. Oftentimes, it becomes one of those do things. If you're a good Christian, you'll pray today for 10 minutes and you'll check the box as having done it. And it becomes a task, a duty, rather than that family privilege. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 8. The Lord detests the sacrifice of the wicked, but the prayer of the upright pleases him. Listen, it's not a duty, it's a privilege. And when you exercise that privilege, you glorify and please God. Don't do it so you can check the box and say, done. Do it because it's a privilege that you have by virtue of your relationship to Jesus. And do it sincerely and genuinely so that God is pleased. Listen, it doesn't come out of or doesn't flow out of positive thinking either. It's not a duty. Nor does it come out of positive thinking. Listen, you don't create your own reality. And there are preachers out there saying that. If you think it pretty, it becomes pretty. You know, if you claim it in your mind, it becomes reality. Just think positively, and it'll all work out. It ain't working out in their lives. I don't get it why they're preaching it. But I'm leaving it right there. Listen, it does not flow out of positive thinking. Luke chapter 17, and I'm just sorry we can't spend as much time looking at these passages because this is important. Luke chapter 17 and verses 5 through 6. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. He replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. It's not a matter of positive thinking. It's a matter of faith. You don't create your own reality because you think it into existence. Things work well when you exercise and live by faith and trust in God and pray. In other words, if you live by faith and you exercise your faith, God moves on your behalf. Not because you commanded God to move, but because he's pleased by your obedience and seeks to answer your prayer. Listen, you don't tell God anything. And there's people out there saying that you can come to God and demand from God what you want. How dare they? What a small God they worship, folks. I don't have what it takes to even look up. Because that's the awesome God that I worship. Not out of positive thinking, but out of faith. Listen, and prayer does not flow out of magic words or special formulas either. John chapter 14. And we're going to be looking at verses 13 through 14. John 14, 13 through 14. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. Listen, there is no hokey pokey to get. We don't come to God with special words in order to squeeze out of God anything. What Jesus is saying is that if you live in accordance to my will, if I am in you, you are in me, and you live by faith, when you pray, you're going to be asking for those things that are consistent with my will and desire, and when you ask those things in that way, I will give you anything you ask. And it may not be, most likely won't be, the pink Winnebago. Folks, it doesn't come out of religious duty. Prayer doesn't flow out of positive thinking, and prayer does not flow out of magic words or special formulas. It's about relationship. The closer you are to Jesus, the more he's apt to answer your prayers because your prayers are consistent with him. Listen, relationship is the key to prayer. Relationship is the key to prayer. And you know what it's based on? Look at Luke 18, 9 through 14. It's based on humility. Luke 18, 9 through 14. It's the passage that we looked at, and where he says, I tell you that this man went home justified before God. And he talks about the fact that if you exalt yourself, you get nothing from God. If you're humble, you get something from God. If you're humble. And let me tell you something. It's just the same. We couldn't look at this passage, Proverbs 28, 9, or Psalm 66, 18 through 20. It is based on obedience. It is based on humility, and it is based on obedience. Listen, relationship is the key to prayer, and the key to relationship is humility and obedience. If you are humble, if you recognize who you are and who he is, and if you are obedient, then that in itself causes God to move on your behalf. Not because you told him he better do it, but because he takes pleasure in doing it because of a life that you live which brings honor and glory to him. Relationship, the key to prayer, and the key to that relationship is humility and obedience. Thank you, Lord. We give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to Truth to Live By. Truth to Live By is a production and ministry of Reasons for Faith International Ministries. This ministry is a listener-supported ministry. We pray that you would prayerfully consider supporting us both with your prayers and with your financial contributions. It is because of your faithful giving that this ministry is able to continue airing this program on this radio station. We do need your faithful and regular support. Would you please consider partnering with us so that we may be able to continue preaching and spreading and propagating the gospel of Jesus Christ? It is our prayer that these programs have been beneficial to you and that God is using them for His own glory and to edify those of you who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ so that you may be equipped for service, that you may be able to do the work of the kingdom, reaching the lost for the Lord Jesus. If you have never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that you would do so right now. It's a very simple step. All you need to do is pray from your heart, asking the Lord Jesus to forgive you of your sin as you realize and recognize and repent of your own sin. Open your heart to Him and ask Him to come into your life so that He may be able to forgive you of your sin and grant you the gift of eternal life. If you've prayed that prayer, it is my privilege and on the authority of the Word of God to tell you that you have been adopted, brought into the family of God. Would you please let us know if you have made this decision for the Lord today? If you wish to request any CDs of any of our programs, order any of our resources that we have available in this ministry, please do so either by writing to us or by sending us an email. I am going to give you our contact information right now. Our writing address, our mailing address, is Post Office Box 23688, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227-0279. Our email address is truthtoliveby@rffiministries.org. If you, our phone number is 704-778-3759. If you need to order any resources, please let us know by writing or by email. And if you're wanting a CD of any of these programs, just let us know what radio station, the call letters of the station you heard us on, and also let us know the date on which you heard the program. We also want to point you to our website. The website address is www.rffiministries.org. There you can learn a great deal about us and see what resources we have available. It is indeed our pleasure to be able to join with you every week in the study of God's Word. May God richly bless you, and we will see you next week.